It here with Sarah Cody, and then we'll have a full segment at 7:50 and at 8:20. Is this your first time in?
Yes.
Even with Ray and Diane never came
it's
in?
It's my first time.
Because you've been in Connecticut for a long...
Since 98.
So basically, Sarah Cody works for WTNH. She worked, you might know her from Fox 61 as well. She's got a new book. I love the concept of this.
Thank you.
And it's like it's not a coffee table book, but it could be a coffee. But the point is, like, every household who'd like to do stuff should have one. And yeah. I'm not selling it for you, but it's around every corner of Connecticut, 100 towns to explore every season. And just before we take a quick break, and then we'll have more time to talk, just like, is this sort of like the summation of all your decades of work here in Connecticut?
Yeah, it kind of feels like that, you know, pinnacle of my work. And to your point, I think when you look at other tourism books, other travel books, they're different. They're a little bit more, I don't know, formulaic. This is really
generic, if you will.
Yeah, this is really storytelling. It's really my voice. It's really my thoughts. I'm proud of it. It was fun.
I really want to know about the genesis of it and how your idea came about. And then I really want to get into, I mean, this is not enough time for us, but I also want to really get into you know, some town by town stuff, but also like, you know, your career here in Connecticut, and, you know, you grew up in Massachusetts and ended up building your whole life here, raising your children here.
Yep.
And I'd like to get into some of that as well. We're here with Sarah Cody from WTNH, and again, worked for a long, long time at Fox 61 as well. Just talk about the genesis of it. I mean, what sort of work have you done in the reporting world that set you up to do something like this?
So I always had a goal of writing a book, because I did write for the Hartford Courant for a while. I had a column, the Mommy Minute column in there. And then I also wrote a lot of travel features and lifestyle features for Hartford Magazine, New Haven Living when they were out.
So writing's always been
not just TV, you know, print writing has been a part of my life. And I always had a goal of writing a book. And honestly, you and I were talking about it off air. My boys were bigger. They were both looking towards college. It felt like the right time to do it. And I just really felt like for my first book, I knew this stuff like the back of my hand. You know, it was something I could jump into and do.
Right.
So it felt like what I'd done just kind of like 100 times over, you know.
And then obviously you had to go do a bunch more reporting.
Yes.
There's great images and photography in the book as well. And again, the book is around every corner of Connecticut, 100 towns to explore every season. It actually sold out of its first print, but a new set of them are out on the 20th of September. You can go to Amazon and order it and you'll get it, and so on and so forth. Because I'm in the same situation. This is the first year I don't have to drive to pick up from
school. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but I have an extra hour and a half plus. And,
right.
And I, you know, I'm like, I'm probably going to use it napping instead of writing. But I think it's an incredible accomplishment to not only write a book, but to get it published.
Thank you.
And did you follow some sort of template to learn how to write it? Or did you just go on instinct? Or did you work? Because you did get a publisher.
Yeah.
Did you work? Was there a lot of guidance there or not a lot?
Not a lot. The one thing that they requested were the 100 towns. So I pitched around every corner of Connecticut with kind of my favorite spots and more. And they said, how about make it 100 towns? That's kind of fun. So that was the guidance they gave me. And then
I say 50 or 70, like 100 is a lot of towns.
Right. So I did go back home and think about structure and thought about doing the 25 towns per season. That was my idea. And that for me gave it some structure. And to your point, I kind of went through everything that was in my head, put that down. You know, I want this in this town, this in this town. But it wasn't enough. So I went around and found a lot more.
So your initial brainstorming, how many was it? Like 50?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. But maybe like 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got in my car and we did a lot, you know, I did a lot more exploring. I took probably 75% of the pictures, which was fun for me to do, too. That makes it very sort of full circle for me. And found some new spots, and I can talk about, you know, some of those as we go through fall.
Well, let's talk about fall right now. We have five more minutes here. And the thing I like about it, the reason why I think it's like a good sort of reference book, is that it's not, the chapters aren't like fall and like you say an opening blurb and then there's bullet with a place and then a thing. You do it in sort of a narrative format,
yeah.
But there's also an index. So if you want to say to go to a certain place,
right.
You look it up in the index and then you go to the page where that description is. But if you were going to give me, let's say, top two or three things for you in the fall, could you give me that?
Well,
or places to go in the fall?
I would say right off the bat, have you seen the tree swallows off the Connecticut River do their roosting thing?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard about it?
No.
I've done stories on TV about
where it. Where is it?
It's sort of a secret location, to be perfectly honest. It's along the river in, it's in the Old Lyme section here. It's between Essex and Old Lyme. See the River Quest boat? When I started doing this story, maybe 10 years ago, there weren't a lot of people who knew about this. And now I went out two nights ago in our boat with friends and my husband, and there were a whole bunch of tour boats, like people have learned about this. Tree swallows gather in this one spot, and they do it in this one spot every year. And they, millions of them, make like a vortex funnel cloud over reeds. They do it every night at sunset.
From when to when? Like
September through October.
Really?
And they drop at the same time, whoomp, like this giant funnel cloud into the reeds when they go
it's
to
almost
sleep
like,
at
the
night.
Image I have is almost like those drone displays you have. Like,
I mean, the first story I did was with a man, Andy Griswold, and he did the narration aboard the River Quest. And he was just like, it is a tornado of birds, a swallow spectacular, our own natural fireworks. Like, it's very dramatic, and it's a really cool thing to see.
Is it mating, or like, what is it?
No, they're just roosting for the night, and this is their spot at this time of year. And then at the end of October, they start moving along to other parts of the country.
And there are thousands of birds?
No, I would say millions. You go on my...
are you serious?
Go on my Twitter and see what I filmed the other night. Yes. So I think that's a very unique thing to do in the fall. You can get tickets through the Connecticut River Museum, River Quest. They do two different boats, the On Rust, which is a sort of historic-looking schooner. You can go out and see the birds on that. And
that's
then
the
also
fancier
this,
one.
Yeah, and then also this boat, the River Quest. But like I said, two nights ago... Sunday night, we were out there. There were tour boats there that I've never seen before. So they're coming from around because they're now hearing about this.
That's probably
because
you brought some attention to it. So now it's no longer
my
a secret.
Right, yeah. Right.
I mean, that's amazing. When you talk about that number of birds, if it's actually that high a number, that must be insane. And then, by the way, every time she's got a place like that, there is like the web address that you can go to for more information. Okay, so that's one I've never heard of. And again, I was in Connecticut from 98 to 07, and then I've been here since 19. So I don't know, I haven't been here as long as you have, so I don't know as much. Give us one more.
You know, I dedicated the book to my dad because he was like my favorite person, lost him in 2019.
I'm sorry.
And he had told me on page 155 here, he had told me for years to go to Weir Farm. Sarah, have you gone to Weir Farm? I have a friend whose kid works there. It's a really special place. You got to go. And, you know, for me living in Essex, raising two little boys, like I didn't have a lot of time to get down to Wilton, and I'd never been there to Weir Farm for work. So when I started this book, I said to myself to heaven, I said, Dad, I got to get down to Weir Farm. And boy, I was just blown away. It's an amazing place. It's the only national park dedicated to the art of Impressionism. Hmm. It was the home of J. Alden Weir. And there's just so much you can do and see. There's a historic home you can see with his art. There's art studios set up in, you know, just as they were
Looks
when
like
he
there's
was
some
painting
walking
in there.
Trails in there
there's
too.
A pond. There's walking trails. They invite you to walk the Artscape, which is taking a map of different famous paintings that were painted on this property. And you can go to that spot and see the light and see what
cool.
the artist experienced. Here on page 157, you can touch a replica of one of his works to feel what Impressionist art is like
in terms of the brush strokes. You usually can't touch high-end art. Yeah,
and
yeah.
the thickness of the paint. They have backpacks there that you can borrow to go make your own masterpiece if you want while you're there. It's a delightful, lovely place if you're into that thing.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
I went to France with my daughter. We went to Giverny. And,
oh, wow.
And we went to this. We did a show from Old Lyme at that museum where that woman had the house where all the Impressionists stayed. I forget the name of that house.
Oh, the Florence Griswold house.
Yeah,
That's in here, too.
Yeah, yeah. That place is amazing.
It's beautiful. They do the Wee Fairy Village in the fall, which is one of my favorite things, too.
All right, so we got a bunch more to talk about with Sarah Cody. Again, the book is Around Every Corner of Connecticut, 100 Towns to Explore Every Season. And it's just a phenomenal thing to have if you want to go out and do things in this beautiful state of Connecticut. So we're back here with Sarah Cody. And again, she's got a book out. I just think it's cool. Around Every Corner of Connecticut, 100 Towns to Explore Every Season. You can get it at Amazon. They sold out of their first run of 1,500 copies, and the new ones will be ready to go in about, I don't know, a week and a half. Can we do one more fall spot?
Yeah, sure.
And then I'm going to put you on the spot for something.
Uh-oh. That's tough. Let's talk about East Haddam.
Yes, let's do that.
East Haddam is a beautiful place. Oh, we could also talk about llama hiking. That's pretty fun.
Where's it? Well, first of all, do llama hiking because I didn't. All right. I wouldn't have ever known that.
There's a picture of me and my younger son on 145. It's in Newtown. It's at Rowanwood Farm. It's basically kind of the same concept as goat yoga, you know, like make hiking fun with an animal. And you take a llama, you get
assigned. Like on a leash?
Yeah, on a leash. And you get assigned a llama. And this woman, AJ, who's wonderful, leads you through a beautiful hiking trail through the woods. And it's really just kind of experiencing nature with an animal, getting to know them. They're different than dogs, but not like so different.
But they're not like camels. They're not spitting on you.
They're
or
not.
Something.
They weren't spitting on us at all. No. And we had a lot of fun.
Could you pet them?
Yeah, you can pet them.
Is there certain expensive
ways they like on the side of the head. A little bit expensive. Yeah. It was a birthday present for my son.
Oh, that's cute.
Because he loves animals.
And it's definitely fall. He's got a little hat on.
Is that a Celtics hat? Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're Celtics fans, and that's my son that just went to University of Vermont. I did mention East Haddam. It's just a beautiful town with that bridge and the Goodspeed. And Ray of Light Farm is there. It's a beautiful little place where you can see mostly rescued horses, donkeys, mini horses, but lots of different animals too. And, you know, the air just feels a little different at Ray of Light Farm. It's just one of those places that's lovely to stroll around, especially if you have kids that
but
love to see the
New
farm
animals. I think New England is like, there's some days you walk outside in September and October, maybe in November, and you just breathe it in. You're like, that is like the cleanest air, and this is the greatest day I've ever, like, even like the last, you know.
You go up to like White Memorial in Litchfield, and that's that kind of sensation there too.
Will you do that walk on the boardwalk?
I love that walk on the boardwalk. But I also, for this book, and I think for News 8, I went to a different area where you really kind of like, you're in a field and you look over. Like, there's a lot of different places in White Memorial that are gorgeous.
Yeah, we love Jerry Griswold here, obviously.
I love Jerry Griswold too. She was wonderful to me.
She is. She's a slice of heaven. I love her.
Yeah.
She did early traffic for us for years.
I know. We talked about it when I was there.
Yeah. She's such a lovely human being. We're talking about Sarah Cody, of course, from WTNH. You might have known her for many years at Fox 61. And she did, obviously, a lot of, you know, sort of travel touristy reporting, right? Like, I mean, is that what you do now? Like, what is your role now with the station?
So I have two different. I'm the weekend morning anchor. So I enjoy
doing that.
I solo that with a meteorologist. Yeah. And I just started anchoring right around the pandemic 4 years ago or so.
Do you like it? Some reporters don't like it.
No, I do like it. And I think I have a big personality, kind of a warm personality. And it's easier to share that with the public.
Especially in the mornings,
too. In 2 hours than it is in 2 minutes, you know. Yeah. So I do think it's given me an opportunity to have a different relationship with the viewers than I had before.
Do you feel like, is it because of your experience or the format of mornings or... Like, you can be yourself? Like, you feel like you're just very comfortable on set?
All of that.
Yeah.
And I always have something to say about something. You know, I know a lot about the state, clearly. And, so it's just a format for me to kind of be me. And it's been fun.
Yeah, for me, the evening news is so much tighter.
Yeah.
And there's, like...
I'm more of a morning show person, midday.
Listen, we got to take a quick break here. Coming up at 8:20, we're going to put Sarah Cody on the spot to give us her best... I'm going to give you time. I'm going to... You want your number one... spot
okay
in the book.
All right,
number
you're making
you're
me
not,
nervous
you're not
and I may have talked
feelings.
About some of them but I'll, I no, have
it's
more
it's
gotta I
be
have more.
One and it's gotta be not something you mentioned.
Okay
We're here with Sarah Cody from WTNH and her lovely book, and I think they should also do another edition, make it huge,
like a coffee table book.
Yeah
that would be cool.
Around every corner of Connecticut, 100 towns to explore every season. You can get it on Amazon. Again, they sold out of their first run, but you got a week and a half, and then the new ones are out, so you can order them and get it on time. So I wanted to put you on the spot. I mean, there's 100 towns, but so many more things to do than the hunt. It's not like it's just 100 things to do. Give me your favorite.
So I'm a lighthouse junkie. I like lighthouses. I like the romanticism around them, and I find them fascinating. So I had always gone to Guilford and kind of stood at the end of the road there looking out into the water and seeing that island off of Guilford. Do you know the island I'm talking about?
I'm a Cape Cod guy. So
I'm a Cape Cod girl, too, though. We got to talk about that sometime.
So this is page 54?
Where is Faulkner's Island? I'm talking about Faulkner's Island, so let's look in the index there.
Oh, I got to go to Guilford.
There's also a picture right in the... No, it's an extra, so just go to the page. But this is it, too.
135, so, right?
Yes, but this... Look, right in front of the book, in the start of the book, is a picture
that's
of it?
It,
too. Yes.
And that's
but
on
there's
an island?
Island off of Guilford, and I had looked out there for years, thinking, what's out there? How can I get out there? And I contacted the Faulkner's Island Light Brigade, and no one, they had not had like a public group out there since 2007.
What?
And they did one last year when I was writing the book. So I was able to get out there. It is 3.5 miles offshore. It's got issues with wind and waves. Like, it's hard to get people out there, actually. It's the second oldest lighthouse built in 1802 here in the state.
Is it still functional? No.
No, but to get out there and see was really, really amazing. And like I said, they hadn't done it in years. So I did a piece for News 8, too, because I just thought it was really cool for people to see.
So it's obviously uninhabited.
It's uninhabited, and it's difficult to get out there. And so they're going to try to do public open houses moving forward. But you really got to keep an eye on the Faulkner's Island Light Brigade, because it's not an easy place to see in Connecticut. Hmm. So I really felt privileged to get out there. I thought it was super cool. Seals out there lounging on rocks, like just a really neat atmosphere. And I really feel like if people don't get out there, they can come along on the trip with me through the book. You know, I always felt like that with my tourism pieces, too. You might not ever fly in a helicopter over a Cape Cod cranberry bog, but come with me because I'm right. going to, you know.
So wait, is there like an operable dock out there?
There is a dock. But what they did for the public tour last year was have people bring their own boats and anchor and then shuttled them in. So it's a big production, and that's why they're not going to do it every year. But it is a really cool place, a historic place, a elusive place to see. So keep an eye on summers looking moving forward and when you could maybe see it.
You know, there are so many things in here. It's hard to ask you all these types of questions, but I guess, you know, we'll do one more in terms of.
Yeah, let's talk about this area a little bit. I love winding trails. You know, we're looking towards the winter.
Yeah.
Cross-country skiing at winding trails in Farmington is amazing.
Right,
I love it there.
Yeah, Farmington's a great time when you have Hillstead as well. That's got to be
I love Hillstead. You know, we were talking about Impressionism painting in the last block. You can see Monet's at Hillstead just hanging on a wall in a living room.
They're actually restoring, I think, one or two of them, and they're letting people watch the restoration process real time. Yeah, they're an amazing spot.
They do great events on the weekends with, you know, the animals there on site and different artists. It's a cool place. And I do love cross-country skiing at winding trails. I was out there shooting a story for News 8 and by myself with a GoPro on my head.
Oh, wow.
And there was like a family of deer that went by, and it's a lovely experience.
That's cool. Go ahead.
In Hartford, I mean, if I were to pick out a place in Hartford, I think the Science Center has been just a giant addition to that city. It's a beautiful facility.
I've never been.
You've never been? Mm-hmm. You got to go.
I see it hanging over the highway.
It's a beautiful facility filled with interesting things. And my kids always loved going there. And I like that area that they built down there.
So you have this combination of like mainstreamy stuff. And then like that's a perfect example of like something we all see and know compared to the lighthouse,
yes,
which,
right.
you know, very few people.
It's really a mix of that because it's just sort of what I like and what I found interesting, you know.
Yeah. First of all, we only have like a minute and a half here. I want to congratulate you on the book. And we don't do like... I love to sell you books, but we don't do things I like to promote stories and good journalism and so on and so forth. But I really do think like this is the type of thing people want to go out and have their hands on, because you can do your Google searches, you can do all that other stuff, but you know, somebody's already culled it for you who's been to all these places. And I just think that from someone who Connecticut people, you know, sort of trust. Do you still love what you do?
I love what I do. I love meeting people. I love telling their stories. I find it to be an incredible privilege that people share their personal stories with me.
And you started here in the late 90s.
Yes.
So where did you graduated Trinity in 95. What did you do for those two or three years?
I worked at NBC in Boston, which at the time WHDH.
It was HDH.
Yep.
Which was like...
It was a rock'em sock'em station at the time.
Oh,
we were
my goodness.
Sending reporters all over to all the big stories, and I learned so much in 4 years and did so much. It set me up for this business really well.
That's a hard place to get into as well back then.
It's a hard place to succeed. People go in and out of that door at the time anyway.
Yeah, and it's...
Because it was high stress, but it was fun.
Yeah, and their graphics are... Throwing stuff at your face all the time.
I loved it.
I grew up more of a 4 and 5 guy. Like, you know, it was 4, 5, and 7. So when we were growing up, 4 was NBC.
Yes, and then they switched
to CBS.
When I was there. I was interning when they switched.
And 5 was ABC, and then 7
but
switched.
But I grew up with Chet and Nat, and I became friends with Sarah Edwards at Channel 7, and that was like a thrill because I'd watched her on Evening Magazine, remember, with Tom Bergeron.
Evening Magazine.
Right? For years.
He and Tom Bergeron, we got to go, but he used to do that like Saturday morning teen show
right?
in Boston.
Right, like, right, right.
It was just so funny. Well, it's a pleasure to meet
this
you.
This was so fun. Thank you for having me on.
I know it's a decent drive, but you know, moving forward, because I have a ton of journalism questions I had to put on the side because I wanted to make sure we talked about the book.
Let's do this again.
But I would love to talk about the media business, especially here in Connecticut. So again, Sarah Cody, WTNH, the book is around every corner of Connecticut, 100 towns to explore every season.